Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 18. In the last perek, we learned about how Aram and Yisrael were destroyed because they ganged up to fight Yehuda. The last perek also discussed the righteousness of Chizkiyahu and the people with him in some minor detail. As we have discussed in previous prakim, Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach, but then did not become Mashiach. Our perek follows from the last perek. The dual nature of Chizkiyahu as the king during Yeshayahu's time, as well as the potential to be Mashiach, contributes to two interpretations of the perek. Some mafarshim, such as the Ibn Ezra and Malbim, interpret Perek 18 as describing the immediate future after the downfall of Ashur, which was mentioned in the last perek. Other mafarshim, such as Radak, Rashi, and Abarbanel, read this perek as a perek about the distant future, during the times of Mashiach, the war of Gog and Magog, and the resurrection of the dead. As a preemptive caveat, if you have tried to read the perek already, this perek is very hard to understand. Rav Schwab says it is one of the most challenging prakim in the entire Navi. It is only 7 psukim long, but the mafarshim debate all the details. They debate who is talking, who they are talking about, where it is, when it is, and what it is about. Many of the words even have 2 contradictory meanings. For example, in Pasuk 2, a nation, which one is unclear, is called Amnora. Nora means awesome. Is it a good awesome, meaning awe-inspiring, or a bad awesome, meaning frightful? The Mefarshim disagree. Other words in the Perek are hard to translate. Pasuk 1 talks about a land that is Tzilzal Knafayim, meaning Knafayim means wings. But what does the word tzal, tzilzal, which is related to shadows, mean? And how does a land of wings even exist? We will learn the Perek with 2 approaches. The first approach is the approach of the Ibn Ezra, who says that the Perek is about Yehuda in the near future, after the death of Sancheirav Zarmi. The other approach will be that of the Radak, that this Perek is talking about the distant future, during the times of Mashiach. Other Mefarshim have their own approaches, but generally they will fall into these 2 camps. Let us begin with the Ibn Ezra. Yeshayahu begins with the exclamation, Hoi, with which he begins many statements. He begins that there is an Eretz Tzilzal Knafayim, a land that is broad, that has many shadows from the root sail shadow. This land is beyond Cush, Ethiopia, yet it is still part of the Assyrian Empire. These people do a lot of communication and trade, Bechle Gome, using light boats. Yeshayahu tells these people that they should change their messengers' regular jobs and instead send their messengers to the Jews, who are living beyond the river, to tell them the fantastic news that Sancheirav was defeated in a huge miracle. The Jews, says Yeshayahu, are a goy memushach umorat, a nation that has been dragged from their home and whose skin was peeled from being dragged. The Jews have found themselves amongst the nations who are an amnora, a fearsome nation. This nation is a goy kavkav, a nation that learns things line by line, very slowly, a nation that is not intuitive and smart. The nation at the outer edges of Ashur should send the messages to the 10 tribes. It is not only they who should send the message. All the nations should tell the 10 tribes who live in their borders about the miracle of Sancheirav. Pasuk 3, Call Yoshvei Sevel v'shochnei Aretz. All the inhabitants of the world and the dwellers of earth should act as if Kinso Nes Harim Tir'u, that like a banner was raised over the whole earth that they all can see, the Chizkoa Shofar Tishma'u, and the sounds of the shofar that they can all hear, that they would all know that there was a miracle done by Hashem to defeat Sancheirav's camp. The miracle was so powerful that all the nations will need to send out the 10 tribes exiled to their land. Hashem continues and says to Yeshayahu, Eshkata va'abita vimchoni, which according to the Ibn Ezra, means that at this time the Shekhinah will remain as it has been done before in his resting place. The Beis HaMikdash will not be destroyed at this time. The experience of Hashem being in the Beis HaMikdash will be a refreshing and wonderful experience. Kechom tzach ale or ka'av tal bechom katsir. like a clear heat in sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. In this pasuk, Hashem promises that he will not allow Yerushalayim to be destroyed, as Sancheriv had been threatening. Hashem then promises that he will take care of Assyria at exactly the right time, not too early or too late. It would be metaphorically, ki lifnei katsir kitam perach, before the harvest, after the fruit has budded and not yet blossomed. Hashem will, v'charas hazal zalim b'mazmei ros. He will trim away the twigs with pruning hooks, and he will lop off the trailing branches. This agricultural metaphor means that Hashem will kill Ashur before they can carry out their plot, but he will give them enough time to prove their intentions so they cannot complain about being punished. Ashur will be wiped out from around Yerushalayim before they could conquer it, as Hashem killed all the Assyrian soldiers in one night. The sudden death of 185,000 soldiers had practical ramifications. The countryside will be littered with dead bodies. What would happen to them? Pasuk 6. The bodies will be left to the carrion birds in the hills, ulevehemas ha'aretz, and to the animals of the field. The bodies will be eaten as carrion during the summer and winter, which will make the region habitable again. Pasuk 7, Be'esahi, at that time, when the soldiers all die and Ashur is defeated, the nations of the world will be responsible for Yuval Shai LaHashem Tzvakos, bringing a present to Hashem. The present will not be silver or gold, but will be Am Memushach Umorat, the nation who had been dragged and flayed during captivity. The Jewish people will be brought back to Hashem, El Makom Shem Hashem Tzvakos Har Tzion, to the place where the name of Hashem rests at Har Tzion. According to Ibn Ezra, Sancheriv's defeat will change how the nations relate to those who are exiled. The news of the defeat will spread to the farthest regions of known geography. While the Ibn Ezra says that Perek 18 follows chronologically and thematically from Perek 17, the Radak reads the Psukim to mean that they are describing a distant future that is only thematically related to the previous Perek. Perek 18 connects to the previous Perek because once Perek 17 discussed the big miracle of Sancheriv's defeat, we should discuss the ultimate salvation that will happen during the times of Mashiach. Yeshayahu calls out Hoy in Pasuk 2, Eretz Tzilzel Kenafayim, a land with shadowy wings that is beyond Ethiopia. The Radak says that the wings are actually the masts of boats that, when unfurled, look like wings, and which shadow anything that is next to the boat. This country is a country of huge boats that look like birds. The Targum, quoted by Radak, says alternatively that it is a land hidden in the shadows. This could mean that it is a land of rivers that is surrounded by trees somewhere in Africa. Since this time is the time before Mashiach, the Jewish people have been exiled to this land a long time ago. Yeshayahu is telling the king of this distant nation to send messengers to the Jewish people. The messenger would use light boats that travel easily, as they would need to travel over rapids to reach their destination. The message should be sent to Pasuk 2, Goy Memushach Umorat, a nation that has suffered and whose hair had been pulled out, meaning their land and their bodies have suffered in this exile. Another way to describe this nation is an Am Nora, an awesome nation. They are awesome as they have had miracles done for them for both the good and the bad. Sometimes the miracles were for their benefit, like the exodus from Egypt, and when that happened, the whole nation was successful. The nation also had things go miraculously wrong. Whenever terrible things needed to happen, whatever would be the worst possibility happened, which is itself miraculous. These negative experiences were to help the nation change and reflect on their behavior. The Radak says that with all this pushing and prodding that this nation underwent, the biggest miracle is that no nation could ever destroy them. This nation had been trampled slowly over time, kav kav, line by line, and its land had spoils taken from it by kings who are metaphorically called rivers in the Psukim. Yet they survive, which is a true miracle. Just as this distant African nation will inform the Jews, so will Pasuk 3 call Yoshei Tevel, all the inhabitants of the earth will send the Jews home. It will be as if they are lifting a flag on a mountain so that everyone near and far will get the message. It will be as if they are blowing a shofar to spread the news widely that the Jews should gather in their land from all over because it is the time of salvation. The nations will then gather the Jews and bring them back to Israel. The entire time that the Jews are in Galus, Hashem moans over our situation. When Mashiach comes, Pasuk 4, Hashem promises Yeshayahu that when Mashiach comes, Hashem says, Eshkata, I will be silent. I will look at this situation with the Beis HaMikdash positively and I will no longer moan. This attention from Hashem will be very positive for Israel. Kechom tzach alei or. Just like it is good for the sun to shine on plants after the rain, and it is as good as ka'av tal b'chom chatzir, a cloud that shades during the heat of the day of the harvest, Hashem's attention to the Beis HaMikdash will bring growth and positive things to the Jewish people. Yeshayahu then turns to the other nations. The Radak says that Pasuk 5 is referring to Gog u'Magog and all the nations who will attack Yerushalayim at that time. They are compared to a flowering grapevine that buds before producing fruits. Gog u'Magog and all the armies will keep coming to attack Yerushalayim with equipment and armor. More and more soldiers will arrive each day. This will happen before the end of the harvest, which the Radak identifies as in Sivan. Gog u'Magog will almost be successful in destroying Yerushalayim. A full half of the city will be sent into exile. At that moment, Hashem will come and fight the nations, the Charas Hazal Zalim v'Mazmeros. He will cut off the tendrils of the grapevine with pruning hooks, defeating Gog u'Magog. The corpses of the invading armies of Gog u'Magog will be all over the countryside, and these corpses will be eaten by birds of prey and animals for a winter and a summer. This pasuk seems to contradict Psukim and Yecheskel, which say that the Jews will spend 7 months burying all the dead of Gog u'Magog. The Radak resolves this contradiction by explaining that while the Jews are burying the dead, the birds and the animals will also be trying to eat the dead. The area will be cleaned by both the people and the animals. Pasuk 7, Be'esahi, at this time, the nations of the world will lead the Jewish people back to Hashem as a present to him. The Jewish people will be brought back to Har Zion. In this perek, although there are two very different interpretations, what they both have in common is that a nation is told to inform the Jews of their salvation. Hashem fights an enemy before they can be successful in their plans to destroy the Jewish people, and then, after the victory, the nations escort the Jewish people to the home where Hashem will rest his presence. There are a few important lessons for this perek. The first is that the Torah and Navi, Anach, cannot and should not be learned only one time. Every perek and every word has deeper and different understandings. It is impossible to learn them all. The complexity of the perek should encourage us to keep learning, and that learning any topic perfectly is not possible. We should start learning and know that we will learn it again with a different vantage point when we can come back to it again. The other lesson in this perek is that our survival over the last 3,000 years is a miracle. We are not like other nations that have settled in an area and have people living there for generations. We have been constantly moving around, punished and tortured. The reason for this wandering exile is that our purpose is to change the world. We are tasked with teaching the world about Hashem. We must collect all the sparks of goodness from even the most remote locations, like are described in our perek, to bring about the Mashiach. For us to fulfill this mission, Hashem does not leave anything to chance. Everything that happens to us, bad or good, has an address and a reason so that we can fulfill our potential. In the end, we are promised that we will return to the lands of Israel to serve Hashem in Yerushalayim. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.